Thank you, Lord. We have peace of mind that our sins are forgiven because we have placed our faith in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And Lord, please look after Pastor Ray and Lori while they are on vacation and keep them safe and have a relaxed time appreciating your creation where they're at. And we pray also for the healing and renewal strength for Barbara Wilcox and for Jackie Carter. Lord, may you touch their bodies and strengthen them. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I find it the greatest privilege to being here and being able to take and come forth and talk to you folks this morning. Every time I get to do this, it's just, I struggle because I want God to use me to encourage you. One of my gifts that I have, that God has given, is that I have the ability to be able to encourage each other. And as one of your deacons, that's what I'm supposed to do, is encourage and build you guys up. And so this morning, one of the things that's been kind of hitting me as being the world right now is, I don't know how to even express this, but things that are happening in our world today, it can be rather distressful, causing all kinds of despair, despondency. We have a lot of things happening right now in the United States, right? If you turn on the news in the morning, I mean, we have a lot of discouraging things that are going on. Earth-shaking things. What's happening overseas in the Middle East and stuff, in Israel. We have a lot of stuff that is happening. Now, in 1992, Kelly and I and my kids, we lived up in Humboldt County, up by Eureka. And in 1992, there was something that happened that took and shook our world. It was on April 25th, 1992. I was working in a meat department at a company called Winco. And at the time, I had a pretty good-sized crew. There was about 12 of us that were there. And when this happened, this earth shaking, believe it or not, it was an earth shaking. It was 7.2 on the scale. And it didn't just happen for just a short period of time. It happened for it seemed like an eternity. And it shook our world. The lights went out. I was in a meat department about maybe 20 by 30 foot, and it had a really high ceiling, and there were no windows. Meat departments don't have windows. But the lights went out, and the first thing I could feel was you felt this shaking, instability. And over on the right, I was running a meat saw, and meat saws, when you turn them off, they keep spinning for quite a while, and they'll spin, and they don't really have a brake on them that stops it. So you got a saw blade on a bandsaw that's going around and around like that. And they make these weird sound when they're doing it and we're going down. So everything all of a sudden was kind of silent, but it was still shaking and you can hear everything groaning and stuff. And that saw, when I was cutting on it, the lights went out and there it was, and it was bouncing around like this. And so I'm trying to hang on to it. You can't see it. It's pitch black. No emergency lights in the room at all. Everything's pitch black. And the guys that were in there that on the tables, they crawled underneath the tables because they were so scared they couldn't do anything. And I finally got over into a corner, and the lights were out. And this one guy, he was so terrified that he was underneath, and he was a smoker, so he had a cigarette lighter. That's all the light we had. And he turns that on. He was underneath a table. And when we're in a meat cutting room, you have all the debris and stuff. So there's stuff all over the ground. He had pushed everything aside, and he was under that table. And he was so terrified that he wouldn't come out. I kept trying to get him, come on, we got to go outside, you know, get everybody out. So I was getting everybody out and going, but he would not come out from underneath that table because he was terrified of what might happen. He was terrified of dying. Well, this morning, I want you to understand, so I did get him outside, by the way, but there for a while, I mean, everything was still shaken. And then what happens, and the story has a point. As a believer, it didn't terrify me. You know that? Even though the whole things were shaken, and I tell you about when we walked out, when we were getting people out, things were still going on. And you could see the, like there's, I don't know if you know, like in Costco, they stack the pallets up on those metal frames. Well, we had frames to the ceiling, and they were stacked pallets, and they were doing this, moving back and forth as we're going outside. So when we get outside, you know, everybody's outside. But we'd finally gotten everybody out. But I wasn't terrified. I was actually like, wow, Lord, you can really shake the foundations of the earth. And the reason I'm not terrified is I have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that? You do not have to be terrified of what's going to happen to you. And this morning's message is about hope in troubling times. We have a lot of troubling things that are going around right now. And people within our own congregation are going through a lot of trouble. A lot of things. Pains. Spouses that are having difficulties, relatives that have passed away recently, things that are going on in the hospital. We have Jackie down in the hospital right now, and she's going to be coming home, but she's got a lot of stuff that she has to deal with right now. And then we have other people that care for her that are going to be dealing with things. There's going to be trouble in our world, and that's been that way for a long time. But you know what hope is? A lot of times we think of hope, okay? So here's hope. We hope something's going to happen, right? And it's something that is kind of like insecure. You're hoping that maybe our idea of hope is we hope it might happen. But then again, if it doesn't, you know, what happened to that hope? Well, I'll tell you what. God has given us hope. And it's a different way of looking at it, because now I want you to look at what a definition for hope is according to God's word. Hope is confident. I'm confident, and I'm expectant. Confident expectation. It's going to happen. What God says is going to happen. Now, we read Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 through 11. I think that was kind of a precursor to all this. So we're going to be jumping around and looking at a lot of verses, okay? And if you want to write these down, that's fine. If you want to come see me, I've got them all written down in another spot. So the first thing I want to get out of your way, if you're not saved, if you have not asked the Lord to forgive you for your sin, you have no hope. None. You are going to be judged. So the first thing I'm going to say is, to have the hope of God and hope in God, you have to be saved. And so in John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So you know what that is? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he comes into your heart and lives in your heart, you have one hope right there. What is it? What's that? Eternal life. See, God, when he says things for truth. Did you know that when Jesus himself, in John 17, if you go over here, I'm going to go to John 17. We're going to go to that real quick. John 17, verse 15, it says, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Now here's what I want you to see. He says, thy word is truth. In other words, everything that God says in this here book, in the Bible, is truth. God's truth. It doesn't go anywhere else other than that. God cannot lie, so what he says and what he tells you in his word is truth. God's word is truth. So now everything that follows this morning on the scriptures I'm going to be talking to you about is truth. God has told you that it is truth. Romans 3:23. And this is the part about the salvation aspect. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means everyone has sinned. And you're not going to meet up to what God's standard is, right? And then in Romans 6:23, let's see if we got that one over there. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in John 1:12, that tells us that, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. So the first thing I'm going to ask is that you need to be saved. If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to take care of the sin problem that is within your life, that God has pointed out. If you haven't done that, you need to get that straightened out today. In fact, you can do that right now just by asking the Lord Jesus to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins. You can do that right where you're sitting right now. You don't have to take and wait. And I would ask that you don't wait. If you think that's something that you need to do, you do it. To experience hope in God, you need to be a child of God. And then trouble and tribulations are going to come. John 16:33. Let me see if I can get there. I wrote these things down and I've got them all over the place. And I probably should have just printed them out. But John 16, in verse 33. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So, Jesus is telling us right there that this life here is going to have trouble. You're going to have things happen. I remember quite a few years ago when I was in youth group, one of the songs we sang was called Apple Red Happiness. And this is the words that go with it. It says, apple red happiness, gumdrop cheerfulness, cinnamon singing inside, peppermint energy, gumdrop holidays. When you give Christ your life. So that was a long time ago. And now I'm thinking, you know what? It hasn't been that way. Has it? I mean, has our life just miraculously, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and everything is just perfect, right? Guess what? That's a false gospel. Seriously. Everything is not going to be okay. In fact, he even told us that. He says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, trouble. Things are going to happen. You're going to lose your job. You're going to get fired from your job. Well, that happened to me one time. You get fired from your job? Yeah. I didn't do anything that I thought was get fired for, but I got fired. And that was trouble. But I'll tell you what, we have hope. Things happen in our lives that create despair and despondency. Did you realize that everyone you meet has problems? Sometimes some people that you meet, especially believers, a lot of times they trudge along and you may not even know they have problems. But there's problems in people's lives of those all around you. And what I'm telling you today is we can have hope. The last song that we sang, The Living Hope, you know, do you ever look at the words on that? I mean, we can sing that. I've pulled this up one other time, and we talked about that. But the living hope. I can't help but get excited about this because our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what, listen to this. How great the chasm that lay between us, between you and God. Remember, the wages of sin is death. That's that big chasm. And, you know, we can't do anything about that. How high the mountain I could not climb. You know you couldn't fix your sin problem yourself, right? In desperation, I turned to heaven and I spoke your name into the night, the darkness that he had. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. The end, it is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine such a great mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross, it has spoken. I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. His buried body began to breathe, and out of the silence, the roaring island declared the grave has no victory on me because he was resurrected from the dead. We have the hope of eternal life. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. His buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Alleluia. Praise the one who set me free. Alleluia. Death has lost its grip on me. Is that true for you now? God's word is true. And what he says is truth. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You can be sure of that. God's word says it is true. And if he rose from the dead, that means he has power to raise us up too. We no longer fear death. Jesus Christ is our living hope. Let's see. 1 Peter has a lot of stuff in it. 1 Peter 1. 3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us again unto a living hope. Confident expectation, that living hope, right? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. What did I say about truth? God's word is truth. You can take this to the bank, people. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. Wow. Do you realize that you are kept by the power of God? Even through troublesome times down here on earth, you are kept by the power of God. Wow. We belong to God, and we are secure. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. We are secure. For what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, that tribulation word again, trouble, things that are happening, or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. I mean, all you have to do is read through it. You ever heard of a book called The Book of Martyrs? You read through that book, you're going to realize that Christians were being killed. We're going to die someday. We may be persecuted to the point to where we are killed. Fox's Book of Martyrs goes through and details an awful lot of things, but you know what? When I was younger, I read through all these different stories. I don't need to recount any of them. Just if you have any interest in them at all, which you should, Fox's Book of Martyrs talks about how these people had such hope that they didn't value their lives to the point where it was amazing what they went through. What they went through, and they came out to the other side because they believed in the hope that their body and their life here is going to be hard, but they knew that they had hope in Jesus Christ and the resurrection and being in the presence of God. So it says in this, nay, we are all in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, number one, life, things that happen in our lives, right? Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things that are present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are secure as a believer. You have hope because you are secure. You are kept by the power of God. Right? You are kept by the power of God. God is in control of all the things that happen to us. Do you know that? Everything that happens to us is something that God knows about. You know that? He does. He knows everything that is happening in your life right now. God has even gotten to the point to where he knows every hair on our head. I don't have very many, but, you know, at least not anymore. But God knows exactly how many hairs are on your head. He is so intimately involved with you, he knows that. I mean, how many people could really even count the hairs on your head? But God said that he is so intimately involved with us that he knows that. And so when you take and you look at Romans chapter 8, again, I'm just going to read this because it goes through and it's, I want you to claim this because you need to be able to claim it as God's promise to you that He knows everything about what's happening in your life, okay? For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. This is verse 18 and following of chapter 8. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails with pain together until now. Did you know that? The whole creation, the earth, is in flux and groaning and moving, kind of like what I was talking about before. And not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves. The first fruit of the Spirit. That means you, as a believer, has the Spirit of God living inside of you. And inside of you, you're groaning for something within yourselves, waiting for the adoption that is the redemption of our body, a promise of hope, right? For we are saved by hope. What is that? Remember that thing I said? Confident expectation. Salvation, the full culmination of salvation, will happen one day when we have our new bodies and we're in the presence of God. The culmination of salvation is that you can be in the presence of God as a sinful being that God redeemed and took care of all that sin problem. You can now stand before God. That is a hope that we have. And when I said confident expectation, in other words, it is something that is sure, solid as a rock. Okay? It can't change. It won't change. When you become saved, you have that confident expectation that when you stand in the presence of God, you will not be cast away. You will be there in the presence of God and in His love forever. Wow. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. In other words, you know, the part that if something's already done, you know, why are you going to hope for it? I mean, this is something talking about our future, right? For what is a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. In other words, it's going to happen. It's a sure thing, for sure. Confident expectation that Christ is going to take and deliver us in God's presence. Likewise, now this is interesting. I found it interesting that this was put in here in that part about the hope thing. So likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You have someone who is intercessory speaking for you when you pray. Because sometimes you are without words, and sometimes, I hate to say this, but sometimes we don't ask for things like we ought. And the Holy Spirit is going like, I'm going to take and go in between here and put this right to God. And He that searches the hearts, who is that? That's God. Again, He searches the hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The will of God for you, do you know what that is? I had a very wise man one time tell me, you know, I was talking to him. And he says, I told him, I said, you know, I don't know what the will of the Lord is for me. I just don't know. I'm trying to figure it out, you know. He says, just keep on looking for it. He says, because if you're going to be taking and studying God's word and doing and trying to do the will of God, guess what? You're in the will of God. Years ago, I had another Bible. I wrote that down in the front part, you know, that if you're trying to do what God wants you to do, guess what? You're doing God's will. You're in the will of God, okay? Likewise, the Spirit, right? Verse 28. Now, here comes the little phrase, and a lot of people always have a hard time at this, okay? So because we flippantly throw this out there. That, you know, when someone's going through some trouble times, hard times, we always say, well, you know, God's going to work that out for good. You know, you just need to suffer through that and get through it. You know, God will work it out for good. Does that satisfy you? Is that encouraging? No. Because that doesn't give you the whole picture here. So I want you to, I'm going to read through this kind of slow so that you can grasp, you need to look at the whole picture. Some of us here this morning, you're going through some hard times. Things can get really rough. And to take and just think, you know, well, God's just going to work it all out for good. That is true. God will work it out for good. But listen to what I'm going to expound a little bit here so that you can grasp this and understand it a little bit better and help encourage one another with this. This is meant to be an encouragement. Okay? And we know, okay, that part when he says, the first part, and we know, that means a surety. It's one of those things that, like what we said, God's word is true. Okay? And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. Remember that first thing? You got to be one of God's children before this begins to happen. Okay? First of all, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, and God's going to work this out. Okay? For to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Okay. So we're called according to a purpose. Whose purpose? God's purpose. And what do you think that is? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Okay, so God marked, you know, that word predestinate. We've talked about this before. Predestination is marking out the boundaries for like a foundation, building something, okay? So God's, the purpose, right? Here we are. The purpose, God has said that everything's going to work out the good of them that love God who are called according to His purpose. What is the purpose? Well, the purpose is to be conformed to the image of His Son. To be made into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're like, you remember where the word Christian comes from? Does anybody know that? Well, it says in Acts that the word Christians, they were called Christians in Acts, first time. You know what that meant? Well, that meant that they, little Christs. Do you know that? A Christian is little Christ. An image of Christ, someone who is taking and living a life like Jesus. You know, you ever heard the little WWJD? Yeah, I got it. What would Jesus do, right? That's a kind of a flippant little phrase, but it actually means that you need to live living like Jesus is. And God's purpose for you and is working it out for good. Even though we know we're going to have trouble in this world and things are going to happen to us, it is done and allowed to take and help us become more like Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. Will we arrive there here? How many of you have arrived at being the little Christ, the image of Christ? Huh? Have you? No. We're still working on it, huh? You know, we used to, when I was growing up, we had a phrase, I'm a whip. You know what that means? I'm a whip, W-I-P. And I've been whipped into shape, right? I'm a work in progress. Think about that. You know, you are a work in progress, becoming more like Jesus. And you know, God's going to work it out to where all these troubles and trials that are happening to you, I'm going to tell you something. You know, there's people that are watching you and seeing how you handle the problems that are thrown your way. People are watching. You are a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ through your troubles and your trials. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, we're verse 30 here, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? So, this part of what should we say to these things? He says, these things are that God is doing these things in your life, and you need to be aware that God is intimately involved in every aspect and everything that happens to you, and how we respond to that is what God wants us to do. He wants us to become more like His Son. So what shall we say in these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So what does that do in light of all the things that are happening in our world today? I mean, we can, you know, if you look at politics, you know, and I hate to say this, I watch it. Do you get distressed about politics in our world? What's going on? Did you get shaken up about all the, I mean, it's like we took this and we all of a sudden became a nation that is so immoral. All of a sudden we're going down this road of transgenderism and all these other things that we're going, and the woke things. We're going down that direction, and yet it can get distressing. It really can. But it's part of the world. We have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ that He is going to take care of all that. If God be for us, nothing can be against us. We're going to take, God is going to take and accomplish what He started in us. And he goes on and he says in verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? So, can we still get hauled into court for something? Usually it's because of something we do, but can there be anything put against us? No, this is not talking about here. It's talking about no one is going to be able to delay anything against God's children in heaven. You belong to God. Do you know that? We have a little bit of a picture in Job where it says that presented the sons of men, came, the sons of God came and presented themselves before God, and Satan himself came up. And he says, you know, he's sitting there and he's accusing Job, right? Before God. Did you realize that it talks about that the brethren are being accused before God too? But you know what? No one can lay any charge against us because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And he was resurrected, and he takes and he has saved us, and he has what? Kept us by his power, right? So nothing can be charged against us before God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Shall God that justifies? See, God's already justified us. Who is he that condemns? Shall Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? He's our go-between. You know what? You ever heard of an intercessory court in the court? Right? He goes between you and God. And he says, you know, somebody will say, Randy, look at that guy. Look at Randy down there. He's just a mess. He's done all these things that are against you and your, and Jesus Christ says, yeah, I know. But he's one of mine. He accepted me as his Lord and Savior, and I am interceding for him on his behalf. And his sins are forgiven. And I'm covering him with my blood. And his righteousness that you see, God, is mine. That's what Lord Jesus Christ said. We have the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. And when he's making intercessory for us, when we do sins, when we do things, if you've been forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ, he's interceding between you and the Father in judgment. Because he paid the price in full. And then that's when we went into that other section where what shall separate us from the love of God. Did you know that God will take and provide all your needs? Philippians 4:19 says this. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in the glory by Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Wow. This is Paul speaking to the Philippians when they were talking about what he needed. But over in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Well, I'll back up one. Therefore I say to you, and this is Jesus talking to his disciples right now. Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life. If you were on the edge of dying, would you be a little anxious? Huh? Yeah. So he says to them, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat. You know, you might get a little hungry. You might be starving. Or what you shall drink, nor yet for your own body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food and the body more than raiment, clothing? Behold, the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit unto his stature? None of you, right? You can't just think about it. And I wanted to be tall when I was in eighth grade. I'm the same height I was when I was in eighth grade. You know that? I thought, man, I'm going to be a giant. And I wanted to, but hey, I stopped growing because that's where the Lord put me. So there's no way you can do that. And why are you anxious for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the fire, Shall he not more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? And with what shall be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So be therefore not anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is its own trouble. So he tells us that he's going to meet our needs. Oh my God. Well, guess what? You are kept by his power. Yeah. So your God is going to supply all that you need. One of the other things that we have is we have hope that Christ is going to return for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5. Let's see if I got that right down here somewhere. There it is. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of God, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So he's coming back, guys. We have that hope. Remember what I said? God's word is truth. And when he says he's going to do something, we don't know when he's going to do it. We're not sure of that. But I'll tell you what, I have one thing for sure, because I have a confident expectation, a hope that Christ is going to return, and then the ones that have died in Christ are going to be raised first, because I know that my dad, my grandpa, my grandma, there's going to be all kinds of them that are going to be risen up from the dead when he comes back. You know that? And right now they're with the Lord, so you're absent from the body, present with the Lord, there with the Lord. But when the Lord takes and comes back and the trump sounds and the voice of the archangel and boom, what you're going to have happen first is the dead in Christ shall rise. I have a hope. The world does not have that. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you're going to be oblivious of this. Because what's going to happen is all of a sudden people are going to disappear and you're going to be left there standing trying to figure it out. And I'll tell you what, if you haven't accepted the Lord, do it now. Because this part about Christ's return can happen at any time. It's what we call the imminent return of Christ. It's going to happen. It's a sure thing. As sure as we are standing here or sitting here in this church today and doing it, Christ will return. It's a hope that we have. Titus 2. Oh, I'm getting short on time. Titus 2. And let's see. 12 and 13. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and that's the wrong one. I wrote that down wrong. Well, doggone it, I lost that. It's the blessed hope for Christ's return. I can't remember where that went. So, what's that? 13. Okay, thank you. looking for that, there we go, I even have it underlined, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself, a people of his own, zealous of good works. So Christ is returning, and the promise that we have that he's going to be there, it is a hope, the blessed hope. Now, the last part of this, and I'll close. Hope, are expectant, right? We're looking for something that's going to be. It's a confident expectation. Hope in a victorious end. You know, there's something that's coming after all this. We believe that in the rapture here. A lot of us do. And we believe that we're going to be raptured out. And then the next event that's going to happen is the tribulation. But back here now in Revelation chapter 21, we're going to go to Revelation 21. And I want you to see this. Verses 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Another one of those confident expectations. Hope. We hope for a heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with his people, and they shall be of them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. God is going to be with us and be their God. In verse 4, victorious end here, because you've been redeemed. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. God's word is true and faithful. Everything that he says in this book is true and faithful. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you. How many of you know this verse? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You have a future as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a glorious future to be in his presence forever and ever. And all the pain and all the sorrow and everything that accompanies this past life, this life that we live here, is going away. So we have a future and a confident expectation that we will be with God one day. Amen. Well, let's close in prayer and then look forward to seeing you guys tonight if you want to come. We're going to talk about something about the promises of God tonight. And so if you have something, when you come tonight, why don't you come with the promise of God, okay? Something that you know that God has promised you. Okay? Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are such a great God. Thank you for saving us, Lord. We just praise you and bless your name for that, and for giving us a glorious hope and a future that we look forward to. And I used to have a man tell me, Lord, I pray that each one of us will be living in light of eternity. And Lord, we look forward to your coming. And we pray that you would come back soon. Maranatha. In your name, amen. You're dismissed.